Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Donuts!
Here's John Williams.
Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago, where there's about a 100-yard-wide layer of fog. It's hugging the lakefront and right out our window. But otherwise, what a nice day in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, I don't fall prey usually to these promotional days. You know, it's the National Donut Day, and everybody talks about donuts on social media and amongst their friends. But there I was eating a donut going, you know, I really like this donut. What an amazing invention. And then I started to harken back to the donuts and snack cakes I've enjoyed over my years. And then I thought, well, this is why we have Facebook. So I had just now posted, Producer Elif, I don't know if it's up. I didn't include an image. You may have to edit one in. But if you would go to WGN King John on Facebook, see if it's loaded, my last donut-loving post. Do you see it?
Don't see a picture, but I see that you wrote.
What did I write?
Today is National Donut Day.
All right, fine. And what else did I write?
My lifetime donut.
Do I really sound like that to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not bad.
It sounds bad, but keep going.
Okay, fine. My lifetime donut snack cake experiences ranked are number 5, Hostess Donut Gems, that little sleeve of white love balls with powdered sugar.
Yeah.
Takes me back to SIU Carbondale. Those, a cup of coffee and an apple, were many of a fine breakfasts.
Yeah, it's funny too, because sometimes smells, foods, the strangest things take you to individual little parts of your life. And when I think Hostess Donut Gems, I think fondly of them. And I go to SIU Carbondale when I was a student. Okay, number 4.
Honey buns.
Yeah.
Heated in the oven by my mom before school, always a pleasant surprise, etched in my childhood hard drive.
Yeah, I don't remember the brand, but there'd just be these honey buns, and she'd put them on a cookie sheet and put them in the oven and warm them up. And then you came down for breakfast in the morning, and if mom had put out honey buns, that was, oh, thank you, mom. Best mom ever.
Homemade?
No, they were purchased at the grocery store. They'd sit in the freezer, and every now and then we'd have them, and every now and then she'd take them out and heat them up. But it was, you never knew they were coming, so it was just a beautiful thing. Because, you know, you don't want to go to school, it's Wednesday morning, whatever, and then there were the honey buns, and oh, that just got the day off to a good start. Number 4, or 3, or wherever we are.
Number 3 is Cinnabon cinnamon buns.
Yeah, those are just amazing.
For a while, made my list of top 3 greatest inventions of all time.
Along with the seedless watermelon and the internet.
I thought it was the plaid water bottle.
Plaid thermos, yeah, that's why they got kicked off.
Okay. Hard to avoid the lure of one wafting through a mall.
Yeah, well,
sorry.
If you're walking around a mall and you go, oh, there's a Cinnabon nearby, and then I will go to it, I'll be pulled in, and in the last 10, 15 years, I've been able to be drawn into the orbit of the Cinnabon and then, whoom, whip out.
Yeah, but don't you always kind of feel gross after? Like, I always feel a stomach ache after
absolutely.
A Cinnabon.
Absolutely. I feel the same way, I hate to say this, about eating a Cinnabon as I do a deep dish Malnati's pizza. You go, oh, that was
just
fun.
Too much.
But
ooh,
it was just, that was a bad idea, Jack.
That's the extra step there. That's your responsibility. You have to know when to say when.
How many pieces? If you have a deep dish Malnati's sausage pizza, how many slices do you eat?
Typically, I eat 2.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, just one.
One is the correct answer.
1 to 1.5 is the correct answer.
Yeah,
that's
1.5.
The thing, because you eat 2, and that second one, somewhere you cross the line. And you know right now, that was a bad decision. But every bit of it was, and I feel the same way about Cinnabons. Every time I eat a Cinnabon, and I've resisted this, Lauren, for a while, but I'd eat it, and it was just, I go, okay, this is going to be 4 really good minutes in my life. The 5th minute, I'm not going to be happy with myself. And I have been able to resist ever since. But props to Cinnabon. What a great product.
Do you know what's a good motto to live by when you're eating something unhealthy that you really like? A moment on the lips, forever on the hips. It's from Friends, the TV show.
A moment on the lips, forever on the hips.
You keep that with you, John.
Next.
Number two, Mr. Donut Blaze, or Plain Glazed Donuts.
Yeah.
A staple desire of my youth. The nearest shop was not nearby. I used to think someday I'll be old enough to drive, and when I can drive, I will drive to Mr. Donut.
Yeah, that was like when I got my driver's license, I knew I would have certain freedoms I didn't. And I thought, if I had a driver's license, I could get in a car and I could go to a Mr. Donut and get a donut. And that was something that if I came up to my mom and dad as a kid, as a 15-year-old or a 5-year-old, and said, hey, let's go get some donuts. We're not getting donuts. You kidding me? And there was no donut shop nearby. It was never like, oh, let's pull in. That was not a part of my youth. And yet I'd had enough of them in my life to know how fantastic they were. And the idea that I could get in the car and just get one at my will. All I needed was a couple of bucks and access to a car, and I could have a donut? I wanted a driver's license.
Remember in the late 70s, early 80s, they came out with that product where you could put them in the oven? Like, you'd have glazed donuts, you could
Or
microwave them, yeah.
Yeah, not the same.
No.
What's next, Elif?
You have number one, Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, game changers.
Do you guys agree with that? When those came out, that was just like, oh my God. It was like, I don't know how you felt when you first had sex, but did you think, wow, this is really new, and wow, is that good?
Okay, so let's rewind. Anyway, Elif, you were saying?
Yeah, no comment.
Game changer?
The first time I had myself a Krispy Kreme donut, I thought, I did not know donuts could be like this.
That's what it says there.
Put in your
All
other
of a sudden,
experiences.
I'm very distracted.
You don't have to read anymore. Well, although
okay,
that's,
you have number 1A, actually.
I had 5, but it came to 6, so this is 1A.
Minooka High School Cafeteria Cinnamon Rolls, circa 1976. We'd glance at the weekly menu, and if these were on there, it was a good week. I thought truancy at the school would go down if they'd serve these 5 days a week. So enthralled with them was I that I got the menu from the school staff and asked my mom to reduce the proportions from 650 to 4. And she did. But it wasn't the same. Only MCHS made these great rolls, 650 to 4.
Well, there were 650 kids in the school,
mm-hmm.
and the cafeteria would put out, you know, cafeteria food for 600 people. And so when they gave me the recipe, it called for, you know, 75 pounds of flour.
Yeah.
And so the mom had to do the math and, you know, 14 cups of salt and 18 cups of sugar, whatever goes into the thing. And she kind of reduced it all. And then she made the dough, and then she made them from scratch the way they did at the high school. Wasn't the same. And I felt so bad because my mom wasn't a baker. She isn't a baker. Mom's alive and doing well. And but so I hated to tell her that they weren't as good as the cafeteria at school, but they weren't. It just wasn't the same. We missed something in the translation. But those were important parts of my educational experience.
I remember when I first discovered Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah.
Do you remember at our, I went to the same elementary school as your son, Griffin.
Yeah, Griffin, yeah.
And I remember they would they would sell them to us every month or something. And I got so excited every time. Do you remember that?
They would sell them at school?
Yeah.
They would sell those at school?
Yeah.
That's, when I get to be king, you are not getting donuts at school. To be sold, to be eaten.
Why? Because it's unhealthy?
Yeah. It should be, you should get the reading, writing, and arithmetic and vegetable soup and, you know.
You just talked about what a great memory you had having the Minooka High School donuts.
Well, if once every couple weeks they put a cinnamon roll in there, then it's something special. But if you're just cranking these things out for kids.
It was probably like a fun lunch thing or something like that once a month or once a week, right, Elif?
You know,
it wasn't. It was
every day?
No. This was like once a month or once every couple months.
Yeah. I believe that's what Steve said.
I don't know. Where did that go wrong?
You said every day.
Well,
that would be excessive.
I just think that schools with their academics and their lunch menus should be really stripped down. Like, we would never have access to a can of soda at my school. There would not be a soda vending machine at my school. French fries would be served rarely. You know, I mean, and I know the kids probably wouldn't eat the food as much as I'd like them to eat the food, but I don't want to be complicit in their bad decisions. So my lunch menu would be boring. Once in a while, we'd pop a cinnamon roll in there, and the kids would line up. I literally went up to Mrs. Geis, and I said, Mrs. Geis, your cinnamon rolls are so good. Would you get the recipe? And she goes, well, it's for several hundred people. I said, if you would just give that to me, we would like that recipe. We, meaning me. My mom did not want the recipe, but I got it, brought it home, and said, would you please make these? And she did. And they looked like them, but they just weren't the same. But props to mom. Hey, nice effort. Thank you for indulging me.
Can I also share a story about my mom baking something?
By the way, happy birthday to producer Elif.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thanks. So my mom, when she was growing up, she really liked baking and cooking. And she was like 12 years old when she searched everywhere for this recipe for this cake. And finally she found it. And she went everywhere looking for this at 12 years old. She made the cake. She was really proud of herself. And she was going to serve it for dessert. And she has a brother and a sister. And when she went to get the cake out of the fridge for her family that she had been promoting all day for them, she saw that it was gone because her brother ate the whole thing.
Wow.
So after that, she started making two of that cake every time.
Nice. Well, that's an endorsement, right? Because a brother might just as easily sabotage it, but he said it was so good. I had to eat the whole thing.
Yep.
So props to your mom. Does she still make that cake?
Yeah, she does. It's delicious.
Well, did she make one for you, and did you bring it in for everybody? Someday, Elif, I'd like to taste this cake.
Okay. I'm sure she's listening and that she will do that for you.
On my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John. I have listed my top five all-time donut/snack cake experiences. Wow, John, I can't wait to get internet. But maybe if you've got one to share, you can share it on my Facebook page too, WGN King John there. Mincing Rascals recorded the podcast that we do each week on Thursdays today, and we kicked around the story that we're going to talk with the bishop from Springfield about after the 1:30 news. Thomas Papraki is going to come on. I'm surprised that he is going to come on. Religious officials are sometimes hesitant to jump into controversies like this, but I said he weaponized the communion when he called out John Cullerton and Mike Madigan for their support of the new abortion bill in Illinois, and he said they'll be denied in my diocese the Holy Communion. He said, yeah, I'll talk to you about that. I'm kind of interested in just the mechanics of this, because he said he'll also do this to any legislators that voted for it. Now, is he putting an edict out to all of the priests in his diocese? How do you know who's coming down the aisle? Would you literally, if Mike Madigan came there, said, no, sir, and then cast him aside? I mean, just the, you know, I get the symbolism of it, and I even understand the belief behind it. I mean, I see how, at least in his mind, this is consistent. I'm not a big fan of him making a public spectacle of it, but that's part of our conversation. But I just wonder how literally you plan on exercising this thing anyway. He's going to come on with us after 1:35. It's Friday, so Lauren Lapka will stroll down into Studio D in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll do our Bright Side. That's things that are making you smile, things you're happy about, and we'll also give you a rundown of fun things to do this weekend. I am waiting for the 5-day forecast, each day including a high temperature above 70 degrees. I'll bet it was October, September of last year, since we've had a string of 70-plus days. I mean, 5 in a row. When's the last time we had 5 in a row 70-plus days? Very long time. It's 1:20 on WGN, so enjoy the donut chat at WGNradio.com. Now, for something more serious. Lots of text today. I knew it would. This is too easy. Attention, aspiring talk show hosts. Do not stoop so low as to say, hey, tell me about your donuts. But here's a comment from one of our listeners about donuts. 512, Little Debbie Honey Buns. 630, John, it's also National Chocolate Ice Cream Day and National VCR Day. I remember our first VCR was the size of a rowboat. had 72,000 moving parts.
I think they throw them into ponds now and they become like habitat for fish.
Yeah, they are reefs off the Atlantic now. But it was amazing. 847, I get my large Malnati's pizza cut in 12s. That is an inspirational idea. That's what I got to do. If I get a Malnati's, tell them to cut it in 12s.
Yeah, and then I'd still have four.
I would have three. I think this is, I mean, I could have cut that second piece in half anyway, but it doesn't seem to work out like that.
It has to be taken away. That's the key.
Yeah.
You can't have to look at, not get to look at it.
You know, we've been doing actually because I feel so bad when I my two, sometimes two point something slices of Lou's deep dish. We've been getting the Lou's thin crust, which seems to be, you know, heresy. But that's a fine little pizza. If you get a Lou's thin crust with whatever you want on it, it's it tastes like Lou's pizza, but it's it, you don't feel as bad as when you eat the big one.
You should be in their marketing department.
I was just going to say.
You try the thin crust. You don't feel as bad. After loving it. Reminds me of the first time.
Lapka, are you writing any of these ideas down? Because I think we're spending some gold here today.
I'm already like on the phone with the people that, you know, get things done.
You mean lawyers?
They're part of the team, yes.
Yeah. Try Lou Malnati's deep dish pizza. What's the next line?
You'll love it till you die.
Oh no, it's the thin crust. Try it a little. Oh. It's you won't feel as bad as the traditional.
It's great. You don't feel nearly as bad.
It's true. I think if they did that and then kind of winked, like, haha, aren't we brave and cheeky? I think that could move some units.
No, I think I can do two. I'm okay with two.
Yeah, well, you're a tall man.
Right.
John, when traveling, we find Cinnabon's minis. Actually, look for them on the road. Six in a pack and we share. It's perfect. John, the best donuts ever are from the Morris, Illinois Bakery Donuts. Janine and Morris. Whatever happened to Morton Donuts? Frozen and warm in the oven, said somebody.
See, those are the ones maybe I was talking about. They'd come out like goo.
Yeah, I think those are the ones that we had.
They were like Krispy Kreme. They were like the precursor to Krispy Kreme.
Maybe. Hi, John. You reminded me of my mom. Back in the 1960s, she would warm up store-bought cake donuts in the oven and then roll them in cinnamon sugar. Yum. 630 texted in, Lincoln Junior High School, Park Ridge, 1970s, best food. I'd give a year of my life for those recipes. You know, and again, I was young and dumb and callous enough. I didn't appreciate the fact that if I went to my mom, the woman who labored to put food on the table for six of us every day, if I said, boy, mom, the school cafeteria rocks. Why don't you cook like that? You know, imagine the backhanded compliment that is. This is John Williams. Two quick points, Steve. Were you surprised at how much time and energy the Mincing Rascals spent today talking about should we change the law in Illinois? It's illegal to smoke in your car if a minor is in the vehicle.
Yes.
I did not see that coming. We were all very animated and in very different places on that. I felt that you ought to be able to do it. You shouldn't, but I don't think it's the...
It's such a weird thing when we start picking things that are illegal. And trying to find parallels that aren't illegal.
And you were on my side on this one, more or less, weren't we?
I don't think it should be against the law.
I don't either. I think it's a bad idea. Patty thinks it should be against the law. I said, okay, should it be against the law to take your kid to McDonald's 3 days a week? And then we all started talking.
So smacking down each other.
We're going to get back to that conversation here on WGN Radio in the 2 o'clock hour. And just one quick point about the first half hour, when we were talking about National Donut Day. Amanda Beal, who's a good friend of mine, hi, Mandy, said Spud Nuts has the best round, glazed, heavenly-tasting donuts. Yeah, you are right about that. If it's the same Spud Nuts I'm thinking of, then was it Pekin or Peoria? Pekin. Peoria, one of them. Those are good donuts, Mandy. Thanks for listening. Okay, so here's the story that we were talking about yesterday. The Mincing Rascals talked about on our weekly podcast. And we talked about, of course, on the air, the... I'm just looking for all of the details here. The bishop of the Springfield Diocese, Thomas Papraki. I'm looking at a story in the Chicago Tribune. Having discovered, like the rest of us, that the Illinois legislature passed and sent to the governor a bill that said that we will have even more liberal abortion rights laws in Illinois than we already had. And so he issued a decree, the bishop in Springfield did, that said, in part, quote, they have obstinately persisted in promoting the abominable crime and very grave sin of abortion, as evidenced by the influence they exerted in their leadership roles and their repeated votes and obdurate public support for abortion rights over an extended period of time. He said they will be denied the Eucharist if they come to a church in his diocese. At least that's my understanding of it. The bishop joins us now on WGN Radio. Bishop, this is John Williams. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, John. It's good to be with you.
I so appreciate your time. Is that an accurate description of what happened and where we are right now?
Yes, that is correct. I issued this decree saying that Senate President John Cullerton and Speaker of the House John Madigan are not to be admitted to Holy Communion in this diocese because of their obstinate persistence in promoting the manifest grave sin of abortion.
You also said that the legislators who voted for it should be similarly treated. Is that right?
Similarly, but in a slightly different way. Canon 916 is the one that applies to them, and that it says that the person who is conscious of grave sin should not approach to receive Holy Communion. So the burden on that canon is really on the individual, and that one, not knowing exactly who all the Catholic legislators are that voted for this, that's really on their conscience whether or not they should be going to communion. If they voted for this, I would argue that they've committed a grave sin, and just like anyone else who has committed a grave sin, you shouldn't go to communion unless you've gone to confession and confessed your sins and promised to change your way of life and then receive absolution. But in the case of Senator Cullerton and Speaker Madigan, I think their position is clear that it's been obstinate and that they've been very stubborn about their pro-abortion position. That's also been persistent. They've done this for a number of years now. Yeah. They supported HB 40 in 2017 and SB 25 last week. Plus, there's an aggravating factor. I would argue that their leadership roles, they basically helped shepherd this legislation through and see it pass.
So it's a larger sin on their part because of their leadership positions?
I would say so, yes. And I think some of the members of the House and Senate felt pressured to vote for this. And that's what I've heard, is that some of the members had misgivings about voting, but they felt pressured that this is what the leadership wanted, so they had to go along with it.
What would you do if one of them was coming down the aisle and you were there handing out the Eucharist?
Well, first of all, my conversations, what I've heard is that that's not likely to happen. I don't believe that either Madigan or Cullerton come to communion here very, very often. Cullerton's office said he doesn't go to church here. Madigan, I've only seen in church here a couple of times when we had special masses for the legislators and the legal professionals here at the Capitol. And he did receive communion on those occasions, but we've had conversations about that, and I think at this point he would not present himself.
But it's not just him. It was the other legislators, too, who you think should govern themselves on this. But just humor me. If one of these people who you think should not receive the Eucharist is coming down the aisle and they came up to you, what would you do?
I would not want to have a confrontation with them during Mass. I would speak to them privately after Mass, or hopefully even before Mass if I knew they were going to be present there. I mean, it's the same situation, what I'm saying under Canon 916, not presenting yourself for Holy Communion. If you have a situation where people are divorced and remarried without getting an annulment, or if they're cohabiting and they're not married, those are also, objectively speaking, gravely sinful situations, and those people should not be going to communion until they get their status regularized. And I have had those conversations as a pastor before I became bishop, talking with people and saying, look, you can't be going to communion if you haven't gotten an annulment for your marriage. And so I would hope that they would respect that conversation. But the whole point of this is that there would be people coming up the aisle that I wouldn't even know if they've committed a mortal sin or not. So that's really why the burden of the obligation is on them.
Are there other votes for which legislators would take that you would deny them the communion as well? I'm thinking about capital punishment, for instance, things like that?
Well, there are other issues. I mean, there's an example going back to the 1960s when the Archbishop of New Orleans excommunicated three Catholic segregationists, three Catholics who were arguing against the segregation of schools. And the Archbishop was, you know, back in the 1960s when they were first trying to integrate the schools, he was taking a strong position on that, and they were publicly opposing him.
Well, what is the Catholic Church position? What is the Catholic Church position on capital punishment?
Well, the capital punishment is an issue where traditionally for centuries the church has taught that capital punishment is justifiable when the state has legitimately found someone guilty of a capital offense.
Right.
Now, more recently, Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis have said that they think that that there are no conditions where capital punishment should be imposed. However, that's not the same thing. It's not saying that capital punishment is an intrinsic evil, which the church argues that abortion
right.
is.
So is there anything else like abortion then? Is there anything else for which a legislator would or has cast a vote that you would deny them the communion? And you would call them out specifically by name like this, too.
I would. I mean, I don't want to speculate on what some hypotheticals could be, but, I mean, it would have to depend. I mean, if there were legislation that was promoting assisted suicide, that would also be contrary to church teaching,
and would you,
euthanasia.
And I'm surprised that we haven't had this conversation about that then, because it seems like that one will probably come. If that was against the church teaching and I voted for it and I was a Catholic, then would you publicly mm-hmm. call me out and say I shouldn't take the Eucharist?
Well, it would have to be, again, obstinate and persistent. So it wouldn't be just a single vote that would be grounds for calling somebody out by name on that. It would be if there's a persistent pattern, which is what we've seen here with the abortion legislation, that would be, I think, a reason for calling them out on that. Now, we haven't had that at this point yet, but I wouldn't be surprised that if at some point we do have some legislation introduced that would be proposing assisted suicide.
Blaise Cupich has a different view on this, it appears, than you do. He feels that the church should be a little more welcoming to people who have at least sought forgiveness for their sins. You probably saw his statement about this, right?
I did. You know, and as a conference of Catholic bishops, we discussed this actually back 15 years ago in 2004. The issue came up quite prominently when Senator John Kerry was running for president, and people were asking if a pro-abortion politician should be able to receive communion. And what we decided among the bishops at that point is that each individual bishop could make a legitimate decision that might be different from another bishop. It's based on his prudential judgment of his local circumstances. I made my decision based on the fact that I'm the bishop of the capital of our state, and the legislature is right down the street from the cathedral where I live, and you know, the circumstances may be different in Chicago in terms of what the cardinal feels the implications are for the faithful there. However, I would say that, you know, this the approach of trying to, you know, dialogue and hope that the pro-abortion legislators will change their view, it simply hasn't worked, you know, and so, I mean, we see time and again. In fact, if anything, I think it's gotten worse since 2004, where you've got Catholic legislators just simply, at that, you know, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, they were talking about abortion being rare. Now they're celebrating it, you know, after SB 25 passed last week. You had the proponents of the bill hugging each other, giving high fives,
yeah.
You know, celebrating the fact that more abortions will be performed in this state. So I think that I just think we have to be clear that you cannot be a Catholic in good standing and be promoting abortion like this.
Your Excellency, then that you talk about their applauding and being more and more likely to vote for it, and that to me dictates obstinacy. And so I still don't understand why it is you will single out two people, the Speaker and the Senate President, who in the end just have one vote, and not the other legislators who also have that same one vote and voted for it. Why aren't you listing their names?
Well, because I don't know all their names.
Well, but if it's that important, I think you could
find
out.
I can get you the list, yeah.
Yes, well, You know, what I'm saying is at this point, it is clear to me that Madigan and Cullerton certainly fit the criteria of Canon 915 of being obstinate and persistent. I mean, if other names become clear to me, I would be open to naming those people as well.
Are you sympathetic? Go ahead, Steve.
So if I draw up a list of the Democrats, I mean, it's not hard. Your Excellency, it's not hard to do. I mean, it could be done if it's that important. I don't understand why you stopped at these two.
Because I did make some inquiries and was not able to get clear answers on who all the Catholic legislators were in this diocese. I did talk to every Catholic legislator in my diocese in Springfield, and I'm happy to report that there is no Catholic legislator, Republican or Democrat, in the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois who has voted in favor of SB 40, SB 25, or HB 40.
Well, are you sympathetic at all to the conundrum this creates for them? Because they've been elected by a secular body to represent the views of the people of their district or of their state. And if that's in conflict with the church, now they're beholden to two different masters, aren't they? So I understand the problem that creates for these guys, their faith and also their responsibility to represent the people in their districts.
I don't think they're beholden to two different masters. Every politician has beliefs and positions on policy matters that they make known to their constituents when they're campaigning. That's why we have campaigns. That's why political parties have platforms, and people vote according to what a person stands for. Now, I don't buy the argument that somebody says that I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I'm not going to impose that belief on anybody else. There's no other political issue where anybody ever says that. Nobody ever says I'm in favor of gun control, but I'm not going to impose that belief on anybody else. Nobody ever says that I think we should have open borders, but I'm not going to impose that belief on anybody else. So I don't know why they can say this about abortion and get away with it as if that's imposing a belief on their constituents. People know what they stand for. The whole point of our political process is to make your values known, and then the values become our laws. And so if a person really believes that abortion is wrong, they should make that a value that they want is embodied in legislation. And if they don't believe that, then they shouldn't be running on a campaign saying, you know, making statements that they're Catholics and then taking positions that are contrary to the Catholic beliefs.
In Springfield, representing the diocese there, Thomas Papraki, the bishop, is on a phone line with us. You may have heard the news that he has said there'll be no communion for Madigan and Cullerton because of their support of what he calls an abominable Illinois abortion rights bill. He's called them out specifically and said they should be denied the Eucharist, at least in his diocese. Lots of questions and comments for you from our listeners. Some support you. Some, you are probably not surprised, don't support you. I just wanted to take a couple phone calls, and we'll start with Joan. You're on WGN Radio. Joan, what's your question or comment? You're on the air.
Thanks, John. And Bishop, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for taking a stand, being a good shepherd, being a good leader for Illinois. It's a disgrace right now to live in Illinois with that abortion bill. I'm almost getting choked up about that. And I feel like I'm in a minority because I'm pro-life, because everyone else is so pro-choice and makes their voice so readily heard that it makes me feel like I'm not equipped, and I'm learning more, so I could be more equipped, even for my own children, to take a stand for what we believe in and to stop doing this. I watched Unplanned. That made me sick, and I just feel like the question I have for you is, what, as lay folks here in Illinois, besides prayer, can we do to really help legislatures or other people, change their thinking on this abortion bill?
Well, first of all, I thank you for your words of support, and I just want to encourage you to remain strong in that. I say to people that may be discouraged in the current situation that you have to remember that when Christianity started in the first century, it was in the midst of the pagan Roman Empire, and abortion and infanticide were quite common in the Roman Empire, and so Christians learned how to live in a culture that was very pagan, and we're sort of in a neo-pagan culture today, so we just have to try to be able to be strong and be witnesses of our Christian values. I would also say, in terms of what you should do, continue to make your voice known. And, yeah. And in the end, it really is the constituents that the politicians listen to. Apparently, the leaders that of our government here that I've talked to, they're really not swayed by anything I do. They will be swayed, I think, by what the voters do. So I encourage voters to be strong.
As they should. I mean, there's two tracks here. One is the religious and one is the secular. And if their personal views happen to line up with the church's views, if their constituents' views line up with the church's views, I don't think we're having this conversation. But when they don't, I think that's... imagine if it was reversed. Imagine if Cullerton said, or Madigan said, we're not going to vote for this abortion rights bill, even though the people want it, because it's in conflict with my personal faith. I think there'd be a hue and cry over that as well. There's more than one way to look at this. I have to take a quick commercial break. I know that some of you want to express your views to the bishop as well. Bishop Thomas Papraki, just a few more minutes, if you don't mind. Our listeners have been patient to hold on the line. So we'll just start with line number two is next. Julie, you're on WGN. What's your question or comment? Hi.
Well, thank you, John, for taking my call, and I appreciate you having this information on the radio. So I come from a Catholic background. I am a nurse, and so I know the science of, development of a human, as well as I personally...
What's your question? We're short of time. What's your question?
Could have been aborted because I have a birth defect.
Julie, what's your question? We're short of time.
So my more of a comment that, I feel that abortion is a convenience, a procedure of convenience, and that people need to be more knowledgeable about what abortion is, like partial birth abortion. I would really be interested if legislators even understand the procedures and what are being done to these unborn children.
Okay, thank you for the call. I want to bring Clint next. You're on WGN. Clint, your comment or question, you're on the air. Hi, Clint, you're on the air. Hey, Clint. I this is not easy for me, Bishop, but a lot of people who are texting and a lot of my phone lines are saying, okay, but what about the priests who have abused minors themselves? I'm not exactly sure how that translates, but I'll just tell you that a lot of people are pressing me to bring that up. Do you have anything to say about that? Would you deny the Eucharist to any priest who had abused a minor as well?
Well, I think just as people are angry about sexual abuse by clergy of minors, they should be angry about abortion. And yes, priests who are unrepentant about committing sexual sins, they should not receive Holy Communion either. And there are situations that I'm aware of that priests who were guilty of sexual misconduct with minors were not given a funeral with the same honors that most priests would be given. So there are penalties for priests who engage in this kind of misconduct
but
as well.
Your Excellency, have you ever publicly called them out and say, I will not give you communion in my church?
No, because we're talking, again, about the question of being obstinate and persistent and whether or not someone is sorry or repentant. Now, remember, this whole point, as far as I'm concerned, about calling out people like Madigan and Cullerton, is I'm hoping that they will repent, that they'll have a change of heart. I don't want them to see permanently excluded from Holy Communion. I want them to be pro-life, and I want them to, as soon as possible, come back to be receiving Holy Communion.
But it doesn't work like this. If I am sorry for my quote-unquote sin, then I should receive the Eucharist anyway. Who are you to judge based on the headlines in the newspaper? For all you know, Mike Madigan walking down the aisle has in fact asked for forgiveness. He can't undo the vote, maybe, but he is already repentant.
Well, I think that if he is repentant, then he has to make that known publicly. You know, a person who steals $1 million and goes to confession and says, I'm sorry for stealing $1 million, I really shouldn't have done that. Part of our church's teaching is you have to make restitution. If you're really sorry, you have to give that $1 million back. So I would argue that if Madigan and Cullerton are really sorry for what they've done, then they do have to have to try to change that legislation. They do have to introduce new bills and try to get HB 40 repealed and SB 25 repealed. I think they have a moral obligation to do that.
Bishop Paprocki, I sure appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thomas Paprocki is in Springfield. He is the bishop of the diocese down there.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
What I do.
Here's John Williams.
On my 1040 form. On my W-2 occupation, thought big thinker. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here weekdays from 1 to 3, and Saturdays we do a show from 10 to noon on social media. WGN King John. We just posted on Facebook about Donut Day. So as you can see, it's a very big bus. Donut Day and banning legislators from receiving communion if they voted for the abortion bill. I don't remember getting this many texts in such a short period of time. But Elif just keeps handing me pages of texts. This is your birthday present, Elif. I'm letting you exercise today. And a lot of them say stuff like this. Hey, John, this is why churches should be taxed. A lot of you are saying if they want to play politics, if they want to be involved in the state's business, then maybe they shouldn't have the church exemption. LMAO, this just proves to me that religion is a farce. Each bishop can have their own law and opinion. And he mentioned politics and legislation in the church, LOL. John, I can't believe you gave the Catholic Church just the kind of platform like this, like they need your help. 773 said, what about the plight of children at the border? What's the church doing about that? I mean, it's just a whole can of worms now. But a lot of you cheered the bishop on. John, I'm an atheist raised Catholic. I totally am in agreement with the bishop, though. If a person is a practicing Catholic, they cannot support abortion. I don't think that point was at play, though. I mean, of course the bishop feels this way, and of course a Catholic who wants to be in unison with their church will feel that way. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's the faith you signed up for. That really wasn't the question here. 773 said, John, why have the priests on when most Catholics likely would not believe what he is saying? How would he know the state of someone's soul anyway? John, I'm not Catholic, but way to go, sir. I completely agree. This legislation is so unchristian. So it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. A couple of you said things like this one, 773. Is this a politician or a member of the clergy? Sounds like a politician to me. 630 said, if my representative voted for that bill, I would never vote for them again. I think that was one of the surprising things about this conversation. So when Steve said, all right, you called out Cullerton and Madigan. Obviously, they're leaders, but you called them out specifically by name, particularly because you said they are obstinate in their views on this issue, which is against the Catholic faith. But aren't the other legislators who voted, they all get one vote, Steve reminded him, aren't they equally obstinate? Why don't you call them out by name? He said, well, I don't have their names.
I've got the list now, John.
Well, here's, I think this is the, it's probably easy to find, but do all of the legislators announce their faith? Because it wouldn't be just the people that voted for the bill. It would be the Catholics that voted for the bill. And maybe in his case, the Catholics who voted for the bill in his diocese. Madigan's not in his diocese.
No, both are from Chicago.
Yeah.
So, he could find that out very easily.
I know it would require some work and some details, but look, he doesn't need to do that. He's made his point. His point is that, you know, we're disappointed in the church and we're trying to move the bar our way, and that's kind of what maybe a bishop does. But in the Mincing Rascals, it was described as weaponizing the Eucharist, and a lot of you have strong feelings about that. The Mincing Rascals podcast that we record on Thursdays, we recorded today, and the new podcast will drop this afternoon around 5. The other thing we kicked around was in Illinois. I don't know if this is the law now. I think it was actually part of one of those big spending bills, like on construction, and you know how things get tucked in there. And one of the things that I think is now the law or is about to become the law in Illinois is this. It's against the law to smoke in your car if a minor is in the vehicle. A minor is what? Somebody under the age of 16? So say you've got a 15-year-old in the back seat or the front seat, and you're a smoker and you smoke, you are in violation of the law. That's a $100 offense. Second time, $250.
Are you making up those numbers?
I am not.
Oh.
But, you know, I might as well. I mean, it's all random. I mean, heck, if it's that important, make it $1,000. Hey, you got 25, 2500, 2500, 3, 3, 3, got a 4, 4, 40, 44.
Well, how about if you're in the kitchen with your minor?
Well, as we were told during the Mincing Rascals podcast, houses are bigger. Cars are smaller.
Cars have better ventilation.
I've walked into houses where there were smokers smoking all the time. You could tell. You could tell. Heck, you get fined to $500 if your hotel room has smoke odor in it from the previous person. I just was reading online in a travel column the other day, and somebody got hit with a $500 charge on their credit card. They said, you smoked in the room. They said, we did not. They said, we could smell it. And there was a big argument about whether they smoked or not. Finally, they said, okay, but it was marijuana. I don't know if the rules change, if the argument is different, therefore. But getting back to the car, should it be against the law to smoke in a car? And by the way, if you told the officer, well, but the window was rolled down and I was blowing out the side of my car, doesn't change. If you are vaping, if you are smoking pipe tobacco, any kind of fuming in that car, you are subject to a $100 fine. And you know, you shouldn't smoke. You shouldn't smoke in a car with the kids. That's not the point. Should the state make it against the law for you to do so? Man, I'm not on board that. I said, no, they should not. Was that our news click, Elif? Did we make that the news click? We could make that the news click over the weekend, right? Should it be against the law to smoke in a car with a minor in the vehicle?
I haven't, you haven't, we never.
We didn't do that one yet?
No.
I mean, if you have to word it, you have to make it clear that we all agree it's not a good thing.
No.
It's not, there's not a, is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's like, should there be, is it against the law?
Okay, first day we'll go, hey, is smoking a good idea?
And then, is smoking in a car a good idea?
Okay, and then we'll all say no, and then right. Say, okay, got that, now, because that's not what we're talking about. The news click today at WGNradio.com, the one we have up right now, is the Catholic bishop in Springfield has publicly denied communion to any state lawmaker that voted for the state's more liberal abortion law. You had two options. A, good. That's what faith leaders should do. Or B, bad. Weaponizing the Eucharist helps no one. 84% of you went with B. You don't think they should do that. 16% of you said you think it was swell. And all of you texted into my show. Props to the bishop for coming on, though. Okay, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Should it be against the law to smoke in your car if you have a minor in the vehicle? So it's, just think about all of the inconsistencies that creates. I mean, it's okay for you to hurt yourself, and it's okay for you to hurt a non-minor. I guess the state looks out for minors. I understand the principle there. But you can't do it if there's a minor in the vehicle. Now, you could be not smoking and taking them to McDonald's every day. That's okay. But if you're smoking in the car with a minor in there, then you owe the state of Illinois $100. Lots of texts here. John, there must be real criminals to catch. If they see you smoking in the car with a minor, the police will not pull you over. If they see you smoking in the car with a minor, the police will not pull you over.
If they see you driving a car without your seatbelt on,
do they? Do they?
Yeah, now they do. In the beginning, they said they wouldn't just like that.
Yeah.
Not that it's the same thing, but...
But if I was a cop and I was hearing this, I go, oh, really, you guys? Come on. Another thing I got to do now? Are you serious? Really? And I think that old ad, that saw about, well, okay, what if you take them to McDonald's? So that whenever we have these conversations about the state interceding on somebody's health, we say, well then are you going to ban cheeseburgers? But I think that's absolutely germane here. If you think it's wrong, it's so wrong to smoke in a car with a minor that you're going to make it against the law and find the person that does it, then yeah, you really should start to stamp people's hands when they go to McDonald's for Happy Meals. If you see somebody serving their kid a French fry like 3 days a week and a soda and a hamburger, that should be against the law. I mean, so I said to Patty Vasquez, I said, Patty, And I mean, she told me the other day that I believe Vasquez is the preferred pronunciation. I said, so what do you think about that? McDonald's three times a week or smoking in the car? And she said, smoking in the car. It almost makes you, I'm not arguing with you, Patty. I mean, what do I know? But I would be interested in getting some sort of medical guru to keep score on this. Because at some point, there's a line in the sand. Like Steve said, you got to wear a seatbelt. The state's decided that's just so important and imperative and effective that whatever your rights as a parent are, the state's going to supersede that, and we're going to mandate that you put a seatbelt on the kid and a car seat that's attached properly. But if you want to let your kid go to McDonald's, well, that's not a good idea, but it's not so bad. So it's this continuum, right? And we've decided that smoking in the car is on that side. So where, I wonder how close to that line, you know, fast food is or some of the other things that we allow our kids to do. You know, too much screen time. Pick them. John, that's true, but they can't pull you over specifically for that offense. That is, yeah, that's my understanding as well.
For seatbelts? They can. They absolutely can do that now. They do that. They put out press releases saying this weekend we are going to look for you.
Do they? But do they really pull? Have you? If you've been pulled over for a seatbelt offense, call. I'll bet I'm gonna get no call.
I've got family members who've been pulled over for seatbelts.
Yeah, but they don't listen. 312-981-7200.
It happened to my dad when I wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Really?
In the back seat. Yeah.
Your dad got pulled over because you didn't have a seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And did they warn him or did they fine him and ticket him?
He's still locked up.
I think he was ticketed. This was years and years ago.
Yeah. Boy, that's a bad draw. That's bad luck. And just driving your kid to soccer or whatever.
Oh, yep. Or, you know, some people's like, well, I fastened my belt once I start moving forward. You know, yeah. Like you back out of a long driveway.
When I get up to speed.
Right.
I'm tough. I can sustain a 5, 12, 18 miles an hour. But get over 50, I'm in.
They absolutely pull people over just for that. I mean, it's a PR campaign even.
Well, it's a PR campaign. It doesn't mean it's...
No, I mean, they'll put out, like, it's a holiday weekend. We're going to be looking for people not buckled up.
Yeah, right. So buckle up. But trust me, we're not going to bother to do it. We just want you to do it.
What state have you been... Oh, yeah, Minnesota.
Sydney, you're on the air. Hey, Sydney. Are our listeners hearing us? Sydney, are you there? Go to Meg. You're on WGN. Hi, Meg.
Hi. How are you doing, John?
You're on the air. I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Love your show.
Oh, great.
So, yes, I was pulled over for not having my seatbelt on.
Now, you don't exist. There are none of you.
No, I was pulled over. Granted, I'm in Michigan, but yeah, I was pulled over by a state trooper on a side road for not having my seatbelt on. But to give this guy credit, he was also the same state trooper who pulled me over at 1 o'clock in the morning because I was returning books to the local library, and he thought that was suspicious.
Well, it is. Nobody's doing that. What did you, at midnight? What did you, at 12:30 in the morning go, I've got it. I'm going to take those books now. What's going on there, lady?
Well, yeah, then I went grocery shopping.
So you were on a different clock than most people.
Well, I'm a musician, yeah.
So he pulls you over. What was the fine?
It was $75 and no points on my license, just a regular $75 fine.
Yeah. Why weren't you wearing a seatbelt, Missy?
Because I was just running really quick to the gas station on the corner, and it was like a mile from my house.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into one of those book deposit bins? They could hurt you.
True.
We're just looking out for you. We'd hate to lose you, Meg. It's for your own good, you understand.
Yes, I see that.
All right, you're one. Okay, call me a liar. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, Peg.
Thanks for having us. Bye-bye.
Meg and Patty Vasquez is on line 10. Patty.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I always tell you to call, and you never call, but this time you called.
I'm calling. I did a little research after we had our conversation on the Mincing Rascals, and you're right. You know, obesity and bad and poor diet actually right now is a bigger epidemic, and it is killing more people. I think in the short run, though, for me, having grown up in a smoke-filled house and a smoke-filled car, I think the short term, the immediate effects of secondhand smoke are toxic. You know, and I think that's what I was trying to explain in the Mincing Rascals, and maybe not as artfully as I'd wished. But I think you're right. I mean, it is poor eating habits are horrible. But I think that the immediate effects of toxic smoke, it's if you can get ahead of it, why not?
So when so your opinion hasn't changed. You do support the law.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
As a kid who grew up in a car filled with smoke, I had a lot of respiratory problems. It leads to not just, I mean, for the long term, it can lead to lung cancer.
Oh, yeah, for
thousands
sure.
of people die. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's growing lungs, you know, and that's anywhere from an infant in the back seat, you know, to any, all the way, obviously, to your lungs, what, 16 years old, right? Is it 16 and under for the law?
So. I guess that would be a minor, yeah. I wonder, yeah. Do you think parents do that? I mean, because to me, this is the sort of thing that I'll bet a lot of people who used to do it wouldn't do it now because we're just so much more conscious of this.
I hope so. Well, you know, and I realized as I was listening to you, we actually had this on my show years ago. We had a segment called It Ought to Be a Law, and this was, and we would give the prize to our favorite one, and this won one evening years ago.
Wow.
So I'm not saying we had something to do with it.
A little lag time there, but take some credit for it if you like, Patty.
Oh, it takes years. I started with something 7 years ago that just passed on Friday. So we'll take a little bit of ABA therapy.
Ah.
It was applied behavioral analysis why I started going to Springfield before I ever worked for WGN Radio, was to help with services for those who need it.
Well, I know that you've been a champion of that for a long time. Congratulations on that. And I think it was a pretty good podcast today. We're going to put it up around 5 this afternoon.
It was a great conversation. And Steve and I didn't even argue that much.
Yeah, I remember that differently now that you mentioned it. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Patty Vasquez. Blake said he got pulled over 2 times for his seatbelt infraction.
How far did he go the second time before he pulled him over again?
I know, right away. Okay, Blake, you're my last call. Quick, go. What happened? You're on the air.
Hi. It was all local. Same thing. Like going to the gas station a mile from my house, 9 in the morning, cops flip around, and I'm like, what did I do? And they're like, no seatbelt. I'm like, okay, sorry. And Evanston's actually quite, they're looking for it all the time. They're a perfect excuse to pull you over.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
And they've had seatbelt safety checkpoints, too, in the past.
Yeah, and you would know. You're kind of an expert on this, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And thanks for
good
the call,
show.
Man. Have a good day.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Billy. What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go? Come here.
2:37 on WGN. John Williams here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is a segment on Fridays where we give you some fun things to do. We call it Fun Things to Do on Fridays. Producer Olive always starts us off with a song. What are we listening to?
How cool is this?
This is awesome. This
right?
is very fun.
This is Billie Eilish, and she's going to be playing a show at the United Center Sunday at 7:30. Doors are at 6, and tickets start at $60.
I'm so glad you said her name, because I never knew how to pronounce the last name.
Did you think it was Eilish or something?
Say, yeah, I just
A-I
really wasn't
is
sure.
it or something
it's like
that?
E-I-L-I.
Here's a fun fact about this show. It was originally going to be an Aragon Ballroom and $300 a pop, or whoa, $170 a pop and up. Now it's $60 a pop because it's at the United Center.
At the UC?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's two different venues. I mean, that's like from A-ball to the majors.
She's exploding, though.
She is.
I never knew who she was till about maybe a month or two ago. And I love her. She's got really unique stuff.
She's 17, John.
What?
Crank it up just a little bit more.
Expected me to make you my art and make you a star and get you connected. I'll meet you in the park. I'll be coming collected.
Is she folding some reverb in there or some? Does she auto-tune her voice or is it just? It has a funny reverb to it. It's cool, but I'm just trying to figure out what I'm listening to.
She's
you know?
Definitely got like a demonic voice going on in the background as she's speaking.
Yeah.
She's obviously using a machine for that.
Her name is
Billie Eilish.
The United Center. Something to do if you're looking for fun things to do this weekend. What else you recommending this week?
Well, listen carefully because I want you to know I'm not swearing here. Beach Slap Volleyball Tournament. That's over at North Avenue Beach. It's Saturday 11 to 5-ish. So there's volleyball tournaments, cornhole tournaments, or, you know, bags, whatever you want to call it.
Bags!
obviously a DJ at the Bud Light Party Deck. A lot of fun. Perfect kickoff to summer, if you ask me. So you do have to register for that if you want to play. Otherwise, you could just attend the beach party.
Chicago Blues Fest runs all weekend at Grant Park. Blues Fest is here. The tents are up 11 to 9. It's for free. Visit Chicago.gov for details on who's playing Blues Fest this weekend in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. There's also the Lombard Beer Fest. That's also Saturday, 1 to 5, obviously downtown Lombard. It's over at the Metro station there. Tickets are like $50 or $60, but you get to feature over 80 different beers from craft breweries and things like that. And some of Chicagoland's favorite food trucks, so good time.
Printer's Row Lit Fest. Boy, summer's here, even if the weather's not. I mean, these are the, we're rolling out the big guns now. Lit Fest tomorrow and Sunday. Varying events from cooking demos, speaker panels, poetry readings, lots of literature, lots of authors, lots of interesting conversations. Printer's Row LitFest.org for the event schedule and venues. It's all free also.
This one is definitely only for the brave. The World Naked Bike Ride is tomorrow in Chicago. I don't know if you knew that, but that's
what...
They
go up Michigan Avenue, right?
Well, so they don't really tell you until shortly before the event because they don't want a bunch of creepy people out there watching, which makes sense to me. So right now, I don't have a location, but it is 6 to 12-ish. They will find a place to stage, you know, the beginning, and then they kind of ride off. But do be careful if you want to participate because I'm pretty sure it's illegal to be naked in public.
We were at Bandera's restaurant on Michigan Avenue, mm-hmm. not too far from where the Tribune Tower used to be, last year or the year before. And it's a great little restaurant, jazz every night, good American food. And along the windows on the second floor, they have a bunch of tables. We happen to be sitting at the table there. And we're having our chicken and Manhattans. And go, huh, that's, I've got no clothes on a bicycle. And then 1,000 people go north on Michigan Avenue, got no clothes on. I turned around. Everybody in the restaurant is standing behind me now, craning, looking out the window, going, what the hell? And the cops are sort of, you know, chaperoning these mm-hmm. people. And the cops, they had clothes on. But wouldn't it be good if the cops didn't have clothes on,
too? We support you, yeah. Just like a belt.
So maybe they're not going to go up Michigan Avenue, but they have before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Food Truck Fest goes on tomorrow and Sunday from noon to 10. Takes place on 18th Street between Racine and Throop and Pilsen. $5 optional donation. A lot of the summer festivals are like that one. They charge you to get in or they don't charge you to get in. But it's a $5 donation for Food Truck Fest in Pilsen. What do you like?
So this one is interesting. If you don't want to do anything like the normal festivals that the summertime provides, there is the Midwest Haunters Convention, and that's going to be in Schaumburg. But pretty much anyone that loves everything horror will want to go to this. So it kind of will have a bunch of people that host haunted houses and things like that, and scary movie type things. But again, you have to actually register before and sign something before, so it must be very scary in there.
I'll just mention this. We're going to talk more about it on Saturday, tomorrow on my show at 10:30 in the morning tomorrow, together with Notre Dame, tomorrow at 8 p.m. at the St. John Cantius, C-A-N-T-I-U-S, Church in River West, a concert held in honor of Notre Dame de Paris in collaboration with the Consul General of France in Chicago. They have some of the people from Paris in Chicago, and I don't know if they're doing concerts or events to raise money and or awareness for the rebuild of mm-hmm. Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got an event in town. We're going to tell you more about that on our show tomorrow morning at 10:30. Sports, White Sox are at the Kansas City Royals tonight at 7:15. You'll hear it here on WGN. Cubs are home against the Cardinals. That's the Red in town, 6:15. And King County Cougars are at the Quad Cities this weekend.
Can I just jump in?
Yeah.
So one of our co-producers here, Jasmine, also an executive producer, she will be cheerleading at the Midsummer Fest in Andersonville.
That's awesome.
She leads our cheerleading squad.
Oh, fun.
Wait, for what team? How does that work, Jazz?
So it's called the Chicago Spirit Brigade. It's a nonprofit organization. What we do is we raise money for our people who have life-threatening challenges. So we have spirit buckets that we put out when we perform, and 100% of the money that we get, we donate right back to the organization.
So what are your cheers like? What do you do?
We do basket tosses where they go really high in the air, and they do like the whole... the split in the air.
So the stuff that we'd see on the sidelines of a football game.
Literally. And we have dancers and flag twirlers and everything.
Except you're not for the Bears or Northwestern. You're for these people.
Right. So you have to be 21 and older to actually join the team. And, our oldest member is 45.
Wow, cool. Yeah. What do you guys perform?
We perform everywhere. So Pride is our month. So we're an LGBT-friendly organization. So what we do is we perform at different things, Midsummer Fest, Pride Fest, Proud to Run, and we also do the Pride Parade. So I'll be there.
Were you a cheerleader in high school or college?
Both.
So were you the one that went flipping up into the air?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
That can be a terrifying, athletic, terrifying, dangerous
it's something.
Thing. It's a thing.
It's something. But once you do it so many times, it's like second nature.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are at Midsummer Fest in Andersonville?
We are.
Okay, that runs all weekend long, 5 to 10 tonight, noon to 10 tomorrow and Sunday. $10 suggested on North Clark, of course. And when are we going to see you guys perform?
So we perform Saturday 1 and 3:30 and then Sunday 1:30 and 3:30 p.m.
Will we know which one you are? I mean, people are listening. How will we know which one is Bill and Wendy's producer?
You will see me with the cheer team. I have like the most spirited face ever, so you definitely know me anyway.
She's adorable.
Yes, I am adorable.
The most her name is
person.
Jazz, for crying out loud.
I mean, come
she'll
on.
Be energetic.
Right.
So, it's good to you to jump in. Excellent. Thank you for that. Okay, so those are some of our recommendations to do this weekend. What's your bright side now? Tell us some good news in your world. Why are you smiling? This is the way to start a weekend in Chicago. 312-981-7200. If you text to that number, Lauren Lapka will read it. I'll read the ones or listen to the ones you call into that number, and producer Elif will look at your Facebook posts. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. The bright side is next. This is a song we play on Fridays.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
It's called The Bright Side.
Other things just make you swear.
Share with us some good news, won't you?
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
First, we play the song.
And this'll help things turn out.
We invite you to sing and to whistle. Here we go.
And always look on the bright side of life.
Man, that's not horrible. Not great. Not horrible.
Kevin Pallon Sports accompanies the.
The second one's always better. That one was good.
I think you're getting better. I really do. I see this sort of improvement. You're like the Chicago White Sox of whistling.
Kevin, do you take the song home and practice?
Well, that's the thing. I'm better at it when I walk the halls of the station. Like, all day I'll be whistling this.
Always look on the bright side.
We're handing out from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute bright side pins, too. And we start with Kathy. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Kathy? You're on the air.
Oh. I'm so proud. My daughter graduated from Elmhurst College last Saturday, and last night she found out she got a teaching job.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, that's the win-win. You want to get through college, and then you want to start paying taxes. Hooray! I'm not kidding, Kathy. Congrats. I'm really happy for y'all.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you. We are too. We're very happy.
All right, Lapka, you're up.
630, got off work early, and it's my birthday.
Woo-hoo!
Elif, you have a birthday buddy.
Yeah, lots of. I'm hearing from a lot of folks sharing Elif's birthday today. Yeah. Riley, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Riley?
Hi. Why are you smiling? Because I'm staying with going to the Billie concert this weekend.
Ah, you're going to see Billie Eilish too, huh?
Yeah.
Is that
I'm
like...
so excited.
Oh, well, I want a full review on Monday. In the meantime, hold the line. Talk to producer Elif. She's a big Billie Eilish fan off the air, and she's going to get you our Bright Side of Life pin, okay?
Okay.
That's one of those mom grabs the phone and says, here, talk on the radio. Yeah. They're talking about that music you like. What do you got?
630. My bright side is that John Williams is in the new class of Walk of Fame.
Oh, how nice of you to say that. Yay.
That is a bright side.
It's an honor. It's a privilege. And I absolutely mean that. John, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, John? You're on the air.
John, I took my 100-year-old World War II veteran father to Ken Tigney's 75th D-Day anniversary yesterday. They treated him like a king.
I'm not surprised. I'm glad. Nobody respects and understands the military more than the folks out at Cantini, and we broadcast from there before. The hardware there, the storytelling there, it's a great thing, and how fortunate for you that you could share that with your dad.
We are really blessed, and I sat with several which were D-Day Omaha Beach veterans and heard their stories, and it brought tears to your eyes. It really did.
Hey, listen, this is a small prize, but would you share with your dad some of our Bright Side pins, too?
I will do that. Thank you so much.
All right, Lauren Lapkin.
312. My bright side is my daughter bought a new home in Heron. She's making millennials look bad.
Let's talk to Lisa. You're on WGN. Lisa, what's your bright side?
I actually have two. My special needs child is graduating high school on Wednesday, and that my brother is, even though he's sick with cancer, is feeling well enough to bowl in a pins over average tournament with me tomorrow.
I'm sorry to hear that, and how nice that you guys are still doing that. So, yes, it's okay to have two bright sides. We don't limit your happiness. Thanks, Lisa. Lisa's gone, and I'm going to go to Carl. Hey, Carl, wait a minute. Hold on. Wrong button. Carl, I think, is on line five. Hey, Carl, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Here I am on line five. Hey, Jed, real quick, I heard you were deducted from the Hall of Shame and inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's what it
number
is.
Number one.
You got to be in one or the other, yeah.
Congratulations. My bright side is I just recently went to Cirque du Soleil in the south end of Soldier Field.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it to anybody. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I had the same review, Carl. I think it's not cheap, but it's amazingly entertaining. Thanks for the call. Lauren Lapka.
773. My husband and I are going to Austin, Texas for the weekend to celebrate our 30th anniversary. Congratulations.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Hey, Gail, what's your bright side? You're on WGN.
I'm listening to you in Tennessee because 2 years ago today, my husband and I left Illinois and now live in Tennessee, but I can still listen to you.
We miss you. We wish you were here paying taxes. But
yeah, right. That's why we're here.
Hey, happy day to you all. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We got a lot of folks that listen to us outside the Chicago area. Producer Elif, what's your bright side?
Because it's my birthday, I'm forcing my friends and cousins to go rollerblading with me tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Ooh,
so
nice.
And it was supposed to rain, and now it's not. So I'm really excited. Yeah.
Lauren Lapka, go.
For me, my bright side or a nice text?
Yeah, whatever you like.
My bright side would be that I got to see an old friend and coworker yesterday, Jarrett Payton, at his wonderful golf event for such a great cause.
Saw those pics. Very nice.
Yeah,
beautiful. Has that guy ever taken a bad picture, by the way?
No.
It's so unfair how handsome the Paytons are, isn't it?
Such a good-looking family.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Kevin, by the way, you were whistling earlier. Do you have a bright side?
Sorry, still whistling. You know, some weekends where you have nothing planned is always very exciting, but this weekend's the opposite. I have a jam-packed weekend, some friends in town, the Bears celebration in Rosemont, Cubs, Cardinals at Wrigley, so a whole bunch going on this weekend.
Hey, Kathy, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, John, my bright side is my husband and I are on our way to Green Bay, Wisconsin for a Paul McCartney concert tomorrow night. And it's the 15th time I will have seen him counting the Beatles in 1965 at Comiskey Park.
Wow. How does he do? I saw him 2 years ago in Minneapolis at a stadium. I thought it was a pretty good show. How does he hold up?
2 hours and 45 minutes he sings, and he's 76 years old.
Think about that. And each song is about 2.5 minutes long, too. I mean, he's got a library, and he really plays a lot of the hits. It's a fun show, isn't it?
It's awesome. He doesn't even stop to take a drink of water, which I would be fine with that.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
You know, the dilemma when you go to an Elton John, a Billy Joel, a Paul McCartney concert is it okay to sing along? Because you know all the songs, and...
But you also want to hear them.
I didn't come to hear you. That's the quandary. What'd you say, Producer Elif? Oh, yeah. So here's some from Facebook. You can always post them on WGN King John on my Facebook page. What do we got?
Today, I'm just going to read the bright side of my favorite one. I'll give you all the names. But Mary Beth says, I just had a conversation with a catbird sitting outside my screen mewing. I started mewing back. We went on for a minute and a half till he flew away. If that isn't awesome and zany, I don't know what is. Definitely made me smile. And then we have four other winners, Arlene, Jane, P. Rutherford, someone whose name begins with P, and Nanette.
Okay, you all get those Bright Side of Life pins from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. One more text from you.
All right, this one's a good one. 630, my son is celebrating 6 healthy months after a double lung transplant.
Ugh.
No supplemental oxygen or wheelchairs. That is great.
We live in amazing times. I'm happy for you all. Thanks for sharing your Bright Sides with us. We do this on Fridays. Tell your friends. Ro Khan brings the fun home. Here's the Friday show. Hey, Ro, how are you?
Oh, John, it couldn't be better. I don't care what they say about me, right?
right now. I couldn't be better.
Oh, my God. It's Roa. It's the very best of Roa.
It's a sort of, I don't know. You know, Lourdes Duarte is going to join us from Channel 9.
Oh, hello.
Yes. And she has, she's not with us at the moment, but she will be with, coming up with us in a few minutes. She has a major announcement that she made in Spanish, and she's going to make it in English now.
I'm trying to figure out what that would be.
Yeah. They did a telenovela. You know, they do that at Channel 9.
Yeah.
That really funny thing they do. And they, you know, in Spanish. And she made a major announcement, and it's confused the audience. So she's coming here to clarify it.
Is it a personal announcement or a professional announcement?
Well, yes, both, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
What else you got today?
Yep. You don't think that's good enough?
As if that wasn't enough.
We're also stealing your bit because Lauren's going to Lauren Lapka's festival frenzy, I think, is what we're calling it. She's going to take us throughout the fests of Chicago over this weekend.
Yeah, you know, you need to talk to my legal team about that, which is Elif, by the way. But
I don't want to mess with Elif. I just heard her commercial. She's very scary to me.
That's the adult version of my producer.
Yeah, I'm okay. And happy birthday to her, by the way.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a very good show, Mr. Khan.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. Have a great weekend.